Chapter 21. The Rindaloo cruisers Sword of Darmok and Spear of Jalad performed a stealthy jump into the far reaches of the Tanagra star system. The unavoidable gamma rays of the space-time rift mostly bent back inside the jump wormhole. The remaining high-energy photons of the gamma ray burst were caught by an absorption field and channeled down into capacitors that seethed white-hot under the hull plating. Unseen, the pair of cruisers extended their sensor nets, creating virtual antennas like shallow bowls light seconds across, gathering photons from the inner star system and focusing them. It did not take long to get a picture of the situation inside the system. It was centered on a red dwarf and had a single gas giant planet, two small rocky planets closer to the star, and an unusually large asteroid belt. Other than the asteroids consisting of a decent distribution of elements that were generally rare in the galaxy, the star system's only virtue was its location between two heavily trafficked Elder wormholes. The site was where the Elder AI known as Skippy reported the Doomsday Ark ships were being assembled, though even the AI admitted he based his conclusions on circumstantial evidence. The location of the assembly point was conjecture. The existence of the contingency plan was not. After they were notified of the Doomsday Plan, the Rindaloo reviewed their own intelligence on Maxalt's activity and agreed that a large amount of material was indeed being diverted to an unknown purpose. The Rindaloo had long known about the Doomsday option considered by their enemy and about the Ark ships that would fly beyond the galaxy. With their elite passengers in cryosleep, those ships would linger in the empty wastes for eons if necessary, waiting for sentinels to scour the galaxy clean and go back to their long slumber. The Rindaloo had long known about their enemy's contingency plan, but it was always only a remote possibility. Now it was clear Ark ships were being readied for use. While that did not mean they would be used, having such ships ready and waiting certainly made it easier to literally pull the trigger on the Doomsday scenario. That was why the two cruisers were scouting the Tanagra star system. Using only passive sensors, being nearly invisible themselves, the AIs of the two cruisers compared their existing data set of the system to what they were seeing. Their conclusions were that indeed something odd was going on there. That based on trace gases, a large number of vessels were maneuvering around. That a major effort was in action to mine the asteroid field, that an extensive stealth field hid something in orbit at the second planet, and that the Maxalts were not nearly as smart as they thought. Their stealth technology was good, very good. Even knowing what to look for, the fuzzy edge of the field was extremely hard to detect, the sophisticated Rindaloo sensors only getting an intermittent glimpse of the field's fluctuating expanse. The stealth field would have successfully concealed its contents from view, except for two factors the Maxalts couldn't control. The Rindaloo had very, very detailed data on the Tanagra star system, and the Maxalts, for all their advanced technology, couldn't completely ignore the laws of physics. Hidden starships, shipyards, and orbiting supply facilities had mass. Enough mass was in orbit of the moonless second planet that the world had an induced wobble. The effect of the wobble on the surface was too faint to be detected, but the mass in orbit was making the planet's molten core slosh back and forth, and that affected the world's magnetic field. Based on the change of the magnetic field from the baseline in the records of the Rindaloo, there was a lot of mass spinning around the planet. Enough to cause alarm about what the Maxalts were doing inside the stealth field, even if it was not known they were planning the end of all life in the galaxy. Sufficient data had been collected to confirm the Elder AI's conjecture. It was still possible the Maxalts had gone through a massive effort to make it look like they were doing something important on a very large scale at Tanagra to distract from the real Doomsday base. But that hardly seemed worthwhile. The effort expended in a disinformation campaign would have been better used to accelerate construction of the Doomsday ships. There was a risk that if the Tanagra system was merely a decoy, the Rindaloo fleet would give away their strategy by attacking a false target. That was a decision for the commander of the task force. The two cruisers launched drones which flew only a short distance and began to project stealth fields that overlapped to cover both ships. Mindful that the drones could maintain the fields for only a short time, the Darmok and the Jalad activated their jump drives and slipped away. Stray gamma rays were trapped inside the stealth field and channeled into heat sinks buried under the armored skin of the drones. Just after the last gamma ray photons could have been observed, the stealth fields collapsed and the drones went silent to drift in the cold emptiness of space forever. Analyzing the enormous volume of data collected by the scout cruisers, the Task Force Command AIs determined it was virtually certain that Tanagra was indeed the site of Ark ship construction. The evidence was overwhelming. Something massive was orbiting the second planet. Something was concealed by a large and power-hungry stealth field, and something was the source of stray particles of exotic matter that trailed outward from the second planet, blown away by the solar wind. With the decision made to attack, the analysis AIs turned to the simpler question of how. Tactics. The fleet AIs were very, very good at tactics. The enemy also had AIs, and they also were good at tactics, and the enemy no doubt had prepared a strong defense. Overlapping sensor fields, warships, and strategic defense platforms were presumably established in depth in a sphere outside the stealth field, waiting for the hostile ships to jump in and fly toward the target. Attacking ships could not jump directly to attack due to a field that prevented jump wormholes from forming. The Rindaloo AIs knew all the obstacles that faced the task force. None of the enemy's defense measures would make one bit of difference. The attack was planned in great detail, and simulations of every conceivable scenario run billions of times before the information was presented to the task force leader, a senior admiral, Grisalda. She was predisposed to be skeptical of the proposed operation, as it had been planned and would be conducted by foundlings. Those Rindaloo who had not achieved the full maturity and wisdom of their 100th year, as years were measured on their long-lost homeworld. Foundlings were invariably hasty and reckless, always urging to take action, rather than waiting to see whether action was truly needed or would even be beneficial. Grisalda knew what the foundlings would recommend, even before she received the report. Attack. Destroy the Doomsday fleet of Ark ships. Eliminate the threat. That was what the foundlings thought would be the outcome of an attack at Tanagra, for they were hasty and did not think through the long-term consequences of their actions. The senior admiral had been given the responsibility of not merely destroying the enemy's Doomsday fleet. That was not enough. The real problem that faced her was why the Maxalts were considering triggering the end of all life in the galaxy. The reason was simple. They had been backed into a corner by a very young and very hasty species. Humans. Humans were the problem. A problem for both of the senior species. She needed to make the Maxalts understand they had a common enemy. But first, she reluctantly had to admit, she needed to act so the Maxalts would not have the option of committing a horrific mass genocide. Then they would have to listen to her. She approved the attack plan after making minor changes to reduce risk. Around Tanagra was an invisible energy field that would disrupt the formation of a jump wormhole, preventing hostile ships from conducting a direct attack. Ships attempting to jump inside the field would find their jump drives unable to focus enough to form an event horizon on the far end. Ships that attempted to force a wormhole open would destroy their drives in a catastrophic explosion. The Rindaloo knew that. They were prepared. 12 AI-controlled starships separated from the task force's main formation gathered in three groups of four and activated their jump drives. Each group of four ships coordinated their drives, focusing on a single point within several nanometers. The combined jump drives vibrated terribly, the tiny event horizons overlapping and fading in and out of existence as the Maxalt's field around Tanagra worked to disrupt space-time. The jump drives of all 12 ships lasted less than a heartbeat, having failed to establish stable wormholes. They didn't have to. Just before the 12 ships exploded spectacularly, three Doorknocker starships closer to the task force successfully projected jump wormholes in the center of the areas where the dozen other ships had failed to create event horizons. The three ships also exploded, but their violent ends came on the other side of their jumps, inside the field near Tanagra. The three ships did not carry weapons. They were weapons. As they were torn apart at the subatomic level by the enemy disruption field, each ship released containment on a chamber of antimatter, which was tuned to explode in a particular pattern. The vibrations temporarily disrupted the disruption field in a local area around where each door knocker ship had emerged. Right behind the door knockers were another trio of ships, the first to survive the jump into the disruption field. This third group of ships lasted only milliseconds, just long enough to launch hyperspeed missiles that shot with tremendous acceleration, forming a sphere of 16 missiles around each of the doomed ships. When the missiles exploded, they sent out vibrations that very briefly canceled out the local disruption field. Briefly was plenty of time to launch the actual attack. Into the disrupted disruption field jumped 15 Arsenal ships, also uncrewed and controlled completely by sophisticated AIs. Arsenal ships had minimal defenses, no masers or other directed energy weapons, no railguns, nothing exotic. What each Arsenal ship did have was thousands of missiles, each independently controlled by its own AI. The Arsenal ships did not bother to pull missiles from magazines deep in their hulls, load them into rotary launchers, and spit them out one by one. Instead, the ship's hull split open, exposing clusters of missiles that immediately ignited their motors and scattered, seeking targets. Space near Tanagra was instantly filled with more than 95,000 missiles. Some of the fast-moving devices did not contain warheads. Instead, they sent out powerful active sensor pulses to guide other missiles. The dark area inside the vast stealth field was lit up by sizzling hot sensor energy, starkly exposing everything within. Having a snapshot of enemy assets within the stealth field, the missile AIs coordinated their attacks, prioritizing targets. Priority 1 was not the completed ARC ships, nor the space docks where new ARC ships were being constructed, nor the more than 400 warships, nor the strategic defense platforms. The starships and SD platforms were positioned around the edge of the stealth field, focused outward in the direction any attack would logically come from. Starships reacted immediately, but even the most nimble warship was a ponderously slow beast compared to an agile missile, and when the ships attempted micro-jumps to reposition themselves for better defense of the ARC ships, they found that chaotic, overlapping damping fields projected from hundreds of missiles were preventing their jump drives from functioning. Acknowledging reality, the warships turned and burned hard for the center of the fast-developing battle. The SD platforms could not move, and as they ponderously swung around to point their weapon barrels and missile launch tubes inward, the strategic defense AIs knew they were already too late. The top priority for the armada of Rindaloo smart missiles was the platforms that projected the disruption field. There was no time for even hyperspeed missiles to close the gap between the Arsenal ships and disruption field projectors, so the missile AIs collectively decided to initiate the attack with X-ray lasers. Missiles equipped with antimatter warhead cores released containment, and matter contacted its opposite. Result? Boom! Energy from the violent explosion was partially channeled into virtual exciters that focused the extremely high-energy photons into coherent beams, which lanced out at the speed of light. Each of the 38 disruptor platforms had 6 X-ray lasers aimed at it. The photons contacted energy shields around the projectors and barely noticed as they burned into and through the platforms. Seconds after the Arsenal ships emerged from jump, the disruptor field was fading. Priority 2 was destroying the network of strategic defense platforms, and they also were attacked by X-ray laser missiles. When the last of the special missiles were expended, 87% of the SD capability was offline, leaving the warships as the primary defense platforms. And the conventional missiles, those which had to get close to an enemy ship before their warheads could do damage, had not yet crossed half the distance to their targets. Approximately 80,000 missiles swarmed around and engaged roughly 400 warships. The math of 200 missiles per ship was brutal by itself, and the attackers had no intention of playing fair. While the designated ship killer missiles dodged and weaved on random flight paths toward their slow-reacting targets, companion missiles exploded to send powerful sensor-jamming waves outward, blinding the target's defenses. The entire first phase of the battle, from the initial 12 ships failing to jump into the disruption field to the last Maxalt's warship taking a direct hit, lasted what would be less than 7 minutes, as measured on the human homeworld. Over 3,000 missiles remained, frantically scanning for worthy targets and disappointed to have missed the fight, when the first of their creator's warships began jumping in. Given new instructions, the remaining missiles, those with enough propulsive energy left to make the turn, finally switched their attention to the Ark ships that were already being sliced apart by directed energy fire from the incoming warships. The highest-ranking Maxalt survivor of the battle that would come to be known as the Massacre at Tanagra was a fleet captain who lived only because he was soundly asleep when the battle began and was still in his cabin when the battleship was blown apart by multiple missile strikes. The section of battleship that contained his cabin was sent spinning off into deep space, slowly leaking air, with Fleet Captain Nuturu placed into protective semi-hibernation by his cybernetic implants. Thus, he had little awareness of the battle having occurred and was shocked to awaken in a Rindaloo detention cell. He was even more shocked to see a Rindaloo adult staring at him. His very limited encounters with the ancient enemy of his people had all been with foundlings. The old ones rarely roused themselves to do anything. Adults of the Rindaloo were unmistakable. Taller, their bodies thinner, though not emaciated. The loss of weight did not imply any age-related feebleness. Instead, it was as if their bodies had shrunk or discarded elements they did not need as they reached maturity. The shape of their heads was different also, more pointed, like an arrowhead. The old one was looking at him as he came to awareness on the padded bench in the cell. Scrambling to his feet, he realized his boots had been removed, that he had clear, flexible bandages covering parts of his body that appeared to have frostbite damage, and that none of his implants were functioning.
"Your cybernetics will return to full function when you are released."
The old one spoke through a speaker in the cell's ceiling. The words were translated, because Nuturu knew the Rindaloo could not pronounce certain key sounds in the Maxalt's common language. At first, Nuturu was unable to respond. Shock, disorientation, the loss of his cybernetics, and most importantly, not having any idea how he came to be a prisoner of the Rindaloo had stunned him into total confusion. He could barely remember how to speak.
"What?"
Nuturu croaked, his throat dry, feeling like needles were stabbing his windpipe. His eyes were itchy, adding to his suspicion that he had been exposed to at least partial vacuum before the Rindaloo pulled him out of the wreckage.
"What happened?"
"We destroyed your Ark ships and the fleet protecting them, and the strategic defense capability in this system," the old one said in a matter-of-fact tone.
It was not even bragging about the triumph. It seemed bored, possibly even sad. That hurt worse than a deliberate insult.
"You," he coughed. "You lie."
"I really do not care what you believe. You are here. Your ship, your fleet in this system, is gone."
Nuturu felt icy cold. There was no reason for the hated alien to lie. And if the Rindaloo was telling the truth, there was no reason for Nuturu to continue living. Better for him to have died than to be captured in so humiliating a fashion. His tired mind remembered something the alien had said.
"You will release me?"
"We intend to release you and the other survivors. There are not many," the old one added, without even a hint of mockery or arrogance.
It was a simple statement. Thinking about that made Nuturu pause to consider his words carefully. Any survivors would have to live with their shame, but if they could return to their society, they could fight on to seek revenge for their humiliation. He decided that it was his responsibility to survive to report what he had learned, and only then to kill himself to atone for his failures. He must suffer until he was allowed to leave the life that had become unbearable with shame.
"It is understandable that you hate us for—"
"We do not hate you," the old one interrupted. "We are not even disappointed by you. You sought to destroy the galaxy and kill nearly all of your own people because you cannot live without the belief that you are special, that you alone are destined to rule this galaxy. You are an immature species, despite all the years we have known you. We are not disappointed, because we have accepted that is simply who you are. It is your nature to delude yourselves. You cannot live without that delusion."
Neturu lost the composure he had recently committed himself to.
You won today's battle. Console yourself with that victory, for soon you will feel the wrath of...
He froze, unwillingly. Though he had no control over his implants, his enemy clearly did.
We feel nothing but pity for you. This conversation grows tedious for us.
The old one shook her arrow-shaped head slowly.
Today's battle was but a skirmish, an exercise in how little effort we need to expend to utterly crush your doomsday fleet. What you witnessed today was our restraint. You cannot imagine the destruction we would visit upon your people if we felt the need. We have not felt it necessary to act, because your hegemony is no more than an annoyance to us. Until you attempt to do something stupid.
The old one gestured, and the wall beside her showed an image of Doomsday Ark ships, just before they were torn apart.
Listen to me carefully, Fleet Captain Neturu. You are alive because you are useful to us. We desire you to carry a message to your leadership. Are you listening?
Neturu found that though he was unable to speak or to communicate via his implants, he could bob his head up and down. The Rindaloo surely understood that body language.
Good. Yours is still a young and foolish species, hasty and never taking time to consider the full impact of your actions. You believe you had no choice but to activate your doomsday plan, that the humans forced you to act. That is because your leadership is not capable of thinking past the immediate crisis.
The old one paused, turning her head side to side to examine her captive.
It is sad. With your youthful energy, you could have become something truly great. Something of benefit to the galaxy. Instead, you...
She shook her head.
But I indulge myself, wasting time speaking to those who will not hear. Hear this, then. You consider the humans to be an obstacle to your imaginary future dominance of all you see, a threat to your survival. Perhaps that is true, but only because you do not understand that our mutual opponent is not the humans.
She paused again to let that notion soak into the thick brain of the Maxulks.
Human society is not unified the way yours and mine are. There is no such thing as the humans. They are fractured. Power in their society is split between rival factions. We can use that to benefit each of us. Play one group of humans against the others. Divide them, weaken them, use them. Pretend to agree to the terms offered by the human called Joe Bishop to give both of our peoples time to split human society apart. They will destroy themselves. We only need to give them time and provide each faction access to the technological means to kill each other. You already understand that neither of us can use the elder AI, Skippy. It cannot be controlled or persuaded to act in any way that it does not choose. Over time, perhaps, its loyalty or affection for a small group of humans might fade. We do not need to control the Skippy. We only need it to prevent the elder weapons it controls from activating. That goes for both of our peoples. All the hegemony needs to do is be smart and patient. For the first time in your existence, do you understand?
Again, Neturu nodded, to the extent he was able to control his neck muscles. The old one was skeptical.
We shall see. Hear this also. Do not attempt to reconstitute your doomsday plan in any form. We are watching you now. Our foundlings are roused and eager to act. If we see any sign that you are being so stupid again, you will witness our full wrath. There is a level of pain your leadership is willing to endure before you trigger your own arsenal of elder weapons and kill us all. We are willing to test that limit. To hit you so hard, to make you so weak, that the clients in your cruel coalition will attack directly to feed off the rotting corpse of your empire. If you do not remember what I have said here, do not worry. Our full message has been uploaded to your implants to be retrieved by your people, whether you are alive or dead. You might choose to kill yourself later, or you might choose to live so you can seek vengeance upon me. It matters little to me, but I would find it encouraging if you lived to someday see the error of your ways. Goodbye, Fleet Captain.